Delaware State of the Arts, I'm Andy Truscott. My guest today is Neil Kirschling, the new executive director of the Delaware Arts Alliance. Neil joins DAA from Rodel, a nonprofit that partners with Delawareans to transform public education in the first state. His responsibilities included strategic planning, policy development, coalition management, program management, and local and national stakeholder engagement. Neil previously served as a legislative fellow in the General Assembly, conducted research for the Institute for Public Administration, and participated in Delaware Department of Education's Future Education Policy Leaders Program. He earned his bachelor's degree in public policy and master's degree in public administration from the University of Delaware. A patron and participant in the arts, Neil volunteers and performs with various local theaters and supports arts and cultural organizations throughout the state. Neil received a gubernatorial appointment to the Delaware Hispanic Commission, where he leads education and advocacy efforts in support of Hispanic youth and English learner students. He also serves as an advisor for the Delaware Community Foundation's Youth Philanthropy Board. Neil, welcome to Delaware State of the Arts. And as we kick off here, can you share with us how you got involved in the arts yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I've been involved with the arts for as long as I can remember. I was fortunate to go to a public school that had really great arts education. And I, you know, availed myself of pretty much everything. I was in the choir, I did theater programs, and then really stuck with that my whole education, even, you know, as a student at the University of Delaware studying public policy. And I was spending three nights a week singing a cappella with friends and in rehearsals for a student-run theater group, and just always found the arts to be a really great outlet for my creativity and helped me to sort of reset and clear my mind and then return back to school, you know, the next morning. And yeah, I was fortunate to sort of find a really great community in the arts. And so when this job opened up a few months ago and I applied, I thought, you know, what a chance I can have to sort of have even more of an impact in the arts, which have given me so much growing up.
You previously were at the Rodel Foundation in Wilmington, which deals a lot with education and the schools within Delaware. Talk to us a little bit about how you think your experience there is transferable to the DAA and where you see some strengths there.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I'm fortunate to have really, cut my teeth and learned all about Delaware policy and advocacy and legislative affairs at Rodel, where I was for 8 or 9 years. And prior to that was with the Delaware General Assembly for a session. You know, there's just so much you can get done in the small state of Delaware when you know the people and the players and the process and the politics. It's really a state where you can run into your elected official, you know, at the Y or at the grocery store. And I just sort of fell in love with that ability to make change. And I was fortunate to work with a lot of teachers and parents when I was at Rodel on advocacy campaigns for things such as expanded funding for childcare, for English learner supports, for low-income supports. And I just sort of fell in love with this, playing this role of how do I help people who are living every day in the classroom, right? They have the firsthand experience of what's needed in education. How do I help them connect to decision makers and plug into the policymaking process? And so I found a really, you know, great partnership there. And when I was applying for this job, the Delaware Arts Alliance board helped me to see, you know, there's actually a lot in common with your everyday classroom educator and your everyday artist in the state of Delaware. You know, they are picking this profession, not because they think it's the most lucrative perhaps, but because they are there because they're passionate about their work. They want to sort of contribute to society, tell a story, be a messenger, and often don't have access to power or don't immediately get plugged into politics and policy and advocacy work. And then secondarily, I'm a total policy nerd. I love the process of looking at big societal issues and figuring out what do we have in our arsenal to solve these problems, right? What are the best solutions? What can the community rally behind? And then doing the strategic work of once you have your policy goals, let's, you know, have a lobbying strategy, communications and media strategy, you know, a data and research strategy. How do all these puzzle pieces fit together to get us towards the outcome that we want? I had the good fortune of working with a lot of really passionate educators and parents in the education space. And I'm just excited that I've really found that already in the arts community, people that want to make a difference.
For those that don't know about DAA's or the Delaware Arts Alliance's programs, can you share a bit of a summary of why the organization exists and what its main goals are?
Sure. The Delaware Arts Alliance was founded during the economic recession of 08-09. A group of civic arts and business leaders got together when really, you know, funding for the arts in Delaware was threatened. We were at risk of losing a significant amount of money that would have crippled these assets in the community that we have. And they decided, you know, we are stronger when we are advocating from one unified voice. And from that was born the Delaware Arts Alliance. And so we've been around now since that point, and at a really exciting, I think, era in the organization's history, where we have some projects I'm excited to talk about today, where we can sort of not just be reactive, but also sort of proactively state, hey, here's our vision for the arts in Delaware. Here's our policy agenda. And so, you know, over the past so many years, the Delaware Arts Alliance has served as the arts voice down in Legislative Hall to other policymakers, to philanthropy, to business, ensuring that funding and policy for the arts is a priority in the state of Delaware.
Recently, and since you've started, you've been on a bit of a listening tour throughout the state, talking with arts organizations and arts leaders about where we are now and where you think DAA can help position the arts for a successful future. What are you discovering?
Yeah, I've definitely been on a listening tour. I mean, the great thing about Delaware, it's so small, you can really get up and down the state pretty quickly. So, I mean, there's a few things I've heard. I think I would probably summarize it into, let's see, three main points. The first, arts organizations, both for profit and nonprofit, are grateful for the investments that they saw throughout the pandemic. We as an industry were able to receive some federal and state dollars that were able to relieve our budgets during a really difficult time when audiences couldn't be in person at arts events. And so I hear that sort of gratitude and excitement to have learned some valuable lessons from what it meant to work in the arts and culture sector in the creative economy during the pandemic, and this excitement to sort of apply that and come out of the pandemic perhaps even stronger than we were initially and address some long-standing challenges in the sector. The second thing that I've heard, while acknowledging there's excitement, I think there's also a lot of apprehension about what will it mean to have your own business or run an arts nonprofit in the current economic climate. Audiences have not returned in full. You know, in some cases they have, but across the board, industry-wide, audience behavior really changed during the pandemic. And for a lot of the organizations I work with, they're reliant on ticket sales or butts in seats or, you know, feet through the front door to really balance a budget. And so how do you put on programming and events to bring people out when you don't have the people out to provide that revenue? There's this sort of sticky catch-22 at the moment where organizations need sort of a runway and some seed funding to sustain the work that they've done at a time when we know across the board, across all industries, the cost of doing business has gone up. Inflation and cost of living. So many of my organizations are looking to see how can we provide the minimum wage and family paid medical leave requirements that the state has passed over the past few years. A tricky economic spot is that second key theme. And then the third theme I'm hearing is really, I think, related to a lot of what we experienced during the pandemic, where social issues really came to the forefront across many different areas. You know, the need for workforce development, the need to address racial injustices, social injustices. I'm hearing a lot of really creative arts leaders talking about how can we make sure that the arts are serving the needs of our community and helping shed light on those issues or find solutions to those issues or help people heal through trauma and difficult situations they've experienced. You know, art does not just exist for art's sake. It is connected to the needs of our community. And so that's exciting to hear artists and art organizations thinking about how can we be relevant and also what are the needs of our communities and how can we use our unique assets to solve for those needs?
Recently, you began a series of conversations with the Lieutenant Governor and arts organizations and artists throughout the state. What are some of the benefits you hope to gain from the exposure of these orgs and artists with figureheads such as the Lieutenant Governor or other government employees?
Yeah, we're fortunate to have a great partnership with Lieutenant Governor Bethany Hall Long, who's been a supporter of the arts for a long time, including back when she was in the state Senate. You know, she came to the Arts Alliance and said, I'm convening some affinity groups in other sectors, faith-based leaders, for instance. What can we do for the arts? And, you know, during the pandemic, the Arts Alliance had been convening the sector to basically devise solutions to how do we keep our doors open? How do we budget and get through the pandemic? And so it felt like a natural fit to have some sort of ongoing convening and utilize the Arts Alliance's network in that way. And so we've really tried to focus these agendas on what are the biggest needs we're seeing in the sector and how do we, you know, strategize and brainstorm and think about solutions together. You know, you've got the ear of the Lieutenant Governor. You've also got the ear of the Delaware Arts Alliance and the Delaware Division of the Arts, which are sort of implementing and advocating and can make changes themselves. So we've talked about themes like how do you connect to legislators? How should we be talking about the arts relative to the economy? We'll tackle things in future months, such as arts and education, some pooled purchasing work around healthcare or marketing. We will discuss the relationship between health and the arts and trauma and the arts, workforce development in the arts. I encourage anyone who's listening who is not on those calls, you know, feel free to reach out and we'll add you to the list.
I want to take a minute here to remind our listeners that you're tuned into News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV for Delaware State of the Arts. Neil, we've got an exciting year coming up. And so Delaware Arts Alliance is obviously going to be a key to ensuring the success of arts organizations across the state. What are some of your priorities for DAA as we look into 2023 and 2024?
It is an exciting year. I feel fortunate to have inherited from my predecessor in this role, Jessica Ball, and our interim ED and a strong board, a number of really exciting sort of dominoes, I keep calling them, that I get to be the one to sort of push over with the partnership of our members and the community. I mean, for one, we are really focused at the Delaware Arts Alliance on connecting the sector with legislators and policymakers over the next year. We just had an election where there are some new faces, some returning faces. We need to sort of get in the habit of practicing those really basic sort of good hygiene activities as an advocate that you can do of inviting legislators to your event, reaching out to say congratulations on your election, reaching out to express your opinions on a piece of legislation. And so the Arts Alliance will be the eyes and ears in Legislative Hall, alerting the arts community to the emergence of any new legislation that will affect our sector and mobilizing people when needed to sort of give a response and be active. We will absolutely be focusing particularly on the budget next year, the state operating budget. We know that Division of the Arts funding has been sort of stable over the recent years. Would love to see it keeping up with the cost of living, as I've heard from a number of my organizations that that's really needed. So we were down in Dover last week at a budget hearing. There'll be several others throughout the year and excited to work with the community to make sure we show up and we're heard, because in Delaware, that matters. You know, you have to be sort of in the room and building the relationship before you have an ask, really. So budget advocacy, monitoring legislation, that'll be one priority. Relatedly, there has been established an Arts and Culture Caucus down in Dover. So this is a group of legislators that's bipartisan, bicameral, up and down the state, who came together really during the pandemic was when they began to organize themselves and say, hey, we stand for the arts. We are your champions as elected officials in Legislative Hall. And so I'll be working closely with those chairs, Senator Tizzy Lockman and Representative Shoup, to determine an agenda and help them hear from the needs of our community as they sort of think about what are the policy levers that they can pull from within government. You know, internally, I'll be working on membership and governance as an organization. We have paused dues for the past 2 years in recognition of how difficult many of the budgets were for our organizations. And so we'll be restarting membership and looking to reconvene our organizations sort of proactively over the next year. And then lastly, a big key priority of ours is implementing some grant funding we received through the American Rescue Plan and the states or Small Business Administration. And so we have been fortunate to receive a grant that will help us do some strategic planning as a sector. And that'll be, you know, a key priority that I'm happy to talk through too.
Can you expand on what that grant will help accomplish for the creative sector and where DAA sees its place in that?
Yeah, it's a really interesting opportunity, I think, that we're faced right now as a sector. We're coming out of a pandemic. We have been fortunate to be buoyed by some federal and state relief dollars over the past 2 years. And now, you know, organizations, both for-profit and nonprofit, are looking around and saying, all right, what is the new normal? Like, how do we operate from here? How do we potentially come out of this pandemic stronger than ever, more sustainable than ever? What can we learn and apply to our way of business? The opportunity that we have here with this grant is to do that strategic planning work as a sector and really determine for the first time ever, what does Delaware as a state want to be as an art and culture destination? There's a term that has been used in literature and research, and a lot of states are moving in this direction of not just talking about arts and culture, but really referring to our sector as the creative economy, which recognizes, again, this concept of like, it's not just art for art's sake or culture for culture's sake. We are collectively a group of businesses, both for-profit and nonprofit, that are contributing to the state's GDP and workforce development and job creation. The opportunity here over the next year that we have with this grant is to determine what is our creative economy and cultural tourism recovery and growth plan. We know that Delaware is a tourist destination spot for people out of state. How do we build on that and create our identity so that people can really begin to access the cultural assets that we have in the state? We're so fortunate, and perhaps we overlook sometimes just how many for-profit and nonprofit businesses there are in the state that are doing really exciting creative work. And so we will partner with an international research firm to deliver on a few different products that will help support our advocacy and develop this common vision together. Of those three products, the first is an asset map of every single art and culture asset in the state so that we can see visually for the first time where we are serving the community, where we're not serving the community, what types of organizations exist in Delaware. You know, for us to be able to advocate proactively, we have to be seen and be visible and define what we mean by the creative economy, right? This is art and music and dance and theater and film, et cetera, and so on. So to be able to show that diversity, including which of those organizations are BIPOC-led or woman-led, as we know many are and need to be celebrated and recognized. The second deliverable we'll be working on is an economic impact analysis that will be able to articulate for the first time what is the impact that we have as a sector on the state's economy, inclusive of both for-profit and nonprofit organizations and individual artists. We've done pieces of that in either sectors of the state or sections of the state. It's never been comprehensive before. And then lastly, we'll do a review of state code, county code, and city code law, basically, to determine, okay, what laws are on the books that are supporting or impeding our creative economy's growth? And how does that relate to best practices across the country, across the world? We know that there are really exciting things happening in cities and countries across the United States. You know, a city like Austin didn't just become a cultural destination overnight. That was the result of really intentional policy, infrastructure, and investment. And so we need to do the work as a state to determine what does Delaware want to be, and then what policies and investment need to be in place to support that vision. Of course, all of this will happen with really robust community input. We'll be doing focus groups in every corner of the state, surveys of the general public and of artists, interviews, convenings throughout the year. And that work will kick off in earnest in the new year and finish in early 2024. So more information to come, but that's just at a high level, the plan for the year. And I'm hopeful that this work will not just be a chance for arts leaders to put on paper our vision. Like that, first of all, that would be a huge win, right? For get the entire creative economy together and align around a common vision. But if we stop there, I think we haven't really captured the true potential of this work. And for me, the hope is we use this as a chance to build other allies in key sectors that we know benefit from our work. The hospitality industry, tourism industry, workforce development and labor, education, leaders within for-profit business in the state, government leaders. If we can use this as a chance to talk about the arts and understand how it connects to all of these other efforts, we can show how the arts and culture sector is really working in service of all these other existing goals. We're not, you know, our own thing. The creative economy really is intertwined with all these other important aspects of the state's economy. And so, and I guess the only other thing I'd like to end on, Andy, is just sort of talking about long-term what success looks like for the Delaware Arts Alliance. Like I mentioned, we're at an exciting window where we have this Arts and Culture Caucus. We have the American Rescue Plan funding to do a growth and recovery plan for the creative economy and cultural tourism sector in the state. Both of those things really will tee us up to be an active, stronger arts alliance in the future. And I'm eager to grow our membership, to grow our strength with those tools. And that will be the roadmap for us to follow over the next 5 years as a state. It's one thing to put a plan on paper. I've done it before. It's another thing to then go out and implement that plan and organize ourselves collectively to achieve policy change and achieve increased investment. That's going to take a lot of work. And so I am excited that I'm hearing that the arts leaders I'm talking to seem up for that work. It will take coordination and collaboration across nonprofits, for-profits, government, philanthropy, et cetera. We at the Arts Alliance will really be the umbrella for all of those players to come together and have a stronger unified voice.
Neil, thank you so much for joining me today. Again, if you want to learn more about Neil and his team at the DAA, visit DelawareArtsAlliance.org.